5 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now to start this thing off on a Friday on our First Advantage Hotline is my guy Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, we're getting there, man. We're heating up. This is going to be... I mean, this is a defining moment, not just for the season for the Broncos, but we've all been kind of waiting for this situation really since the Super Bowl. The Broncos haven't been in many big games in December. It's fair to say maybe none. Maybe that 9-7 year with Gary Kubiak. So this is an absolute huge game coming up for the Broncos going up against the Bengals this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, it is huge. And Brady, it just got even bigger after last night. Mm. I know people don't want to pull for the Chiefs, but last night it was good for two reasons. The Chiefs beating the Chargers brought the Chargers down the game, and now it sets up where if the Broncos win, regardless of what anything else happens on Sunday or tomorrow, if the Broncos win, they will at least be tied for all three wild card spots, and there's a chance that they could actually own one of those wild card spots if some other teams lose. And then it's also good that the Chiefs won, because going into last night's game, Brady, the Broncos had a 5% chance at winning the division. The Broncos weren't really going to win the division, and now this is really going to kill Broncos fans, but if the Broncos want the Chiefs to kind of lock up the first seed in the AFC soon, so that when they play them in Week 18, the Chiefs aren't playing for anything. You got backups in, but you don't have to face Patrick Mahomes, and you get a good shot of beating them, because the Broncos Week 18 are likely going to be playing for something. At least if all goes well, they're going to be playing something. So last night, a great start for them. But, of course, Brady, it all boils down to the Broncos have to take care of business as well. Right now, they've set themselves up in a position where they don't really need anything else from other teams to happen in order for them to make the playoffs. But if they don't take advantage of their opportunity, well, they're not going to make the playoffs. And this game sets up where the Broncos really should be able to win. The Bengals, they are a good team. They're maybe the most inconsistent team in the National Football League right now. And the Broncos are catching them at a good time. Look, the Broncos have a winning record the past couple of games. And the Bengals, they're 2-4. In their last six games, they're struggling a bit.
Yeah, that's what's interesting is that they are a good team. It seems like the Bengals are, but the last two games, yeah, they've certainly kind of hit a wall as far as their momentum and everything. So, Zach, when you look at the matchups here, what's that number one thing that looks out for? And obviously, but as we look at matchups, I think it does revolve around the run game too. So both sides, I want to get kind of your key matchups, but also give us the health status on the Broncos running backs.
Yeah, Broncos running backs are getting healthier. Now, Javonte Williams, his leg swelled up a little bit. He had yesterday off of practice, but it was more so of a rest thing. He's out there practicing as we speak right now, Brady, which is great news for the Broncos. So they're going to be at full strength at running back. And in fact, the Broncos are going to be at pretty much as close to full strength as any team in the NFL. Draymond Jones not practicing. He hasn't practiced all week. That does not look good for him. But really, he may be the only one. The Broncos still have three guys in the COVID protocol. But, Brady, compared to the rest of the league, especially with the last-minute breaking news that we're seeing right now, the Broncos pretty good on the COVID front as well. So you just cross your fingers up until game time that it stays like that. But for the most part, Broncos really good on the injury front. And when it comes to matchups for this game, Brady, the one that I think everyone is focusing on is the Broncos rushing attack going up against the Bengals run defense. And now the stats make it look like, boy, this is going to be such a difficult game for the Broncos to run the ball. The Bengals have allowed the third fewest rushing yards. However, when you take a dive further in the numbers and look at what's happened recently with Cincinnati, Brady, it's not as intimidating. The Bengals, yes, overall they've only allowed the third fewest rushing yards in the NFL. But they're averaging 4.1 yards per carry against them, which is about middle of the league. And when you look, they've been giving up some rushing yards these past couple of weeks. So it's not going to be impossible for the Broncos to rush the ball. In fact, I don't think they need to change their formula that they've had these past three games. 2-1, beating, of course, destroying the Lions, but also they beat the Chiefs with this formula, and that is run the darn football. And Teddy Bridgewater, just be efficient. Look, Brady, when Teddy Bridgewater was efficient against the Chargers and efficient against the Bengals, the Broncos kind of easily won those games. When he wasn't efficient against the Chiefs when he had two interceptions, when he was seeing ghosts out there. The Broncos lost and did not have the offensive output. So I don't believe that you need to put this game on Teddy Bridgewater's shoulders and say, well, we can't run the ball. No, you got to stick with your guns. The past three games, the Broncos have averaged 160 rushing yards. They need to stick with that formula this week.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that that's the formula. We discussed that in the offseason, was if this team can establish the run, and I don't know that any of us really thought Javonte Williams was going to take off the way he did, so I think that that's been a bonus. But if they can establish the run and play elite defense, that's going to be key. And so many people are looking at this. I've read a lot about, hey, Teddy Bridgewater time. He needs to really show out here and do something as we get closer to the end of the season if he wants to be paid. That's not the Broncos, and I think if they're relying on Teddy to be a 250-300 guy, they're going to be disappointed on that side of it. So you're right. I think you got to keep doing what got you here. When the Broncos win, it's typically when they're running the ball well and defense can come up with something big.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And there's been, I don't know when this shift happened, Brady, but over the past couple of weeks, a very head-scratching shift happened where it seems like people are now holding Teddy Bridgewater to like a top 10 quarterback standard.
Right.
And that is, we never expected that from him, you know? What if Broncos country wanted for the past 5 years? They've been so desperate for average quarterback play. And Brady, the Broncos are getting average quarterback play from Teddy Bridgewater. Now, last week, the stats were probably better than his play, but it still was okay. Now, his ball accuracy needs to improve. But it's not like we've seen his ball accuracy been a big concern throughout the entire season. No, it was just last week. And yes, that needs to improve. But you know what's more important than ball accuracy in my mind is decision-making. Against the Chiefs, he had poor decision-making. Broncos lose. Against the Chargers, against the Lions, he has good decision-making. The Broncos win. That's all they need from him. And when you look at the stats too, Brady, Teddy Bridgewater's right around between 13 and 20. With all of his stats, he's right around the 13th best, the 20th best quarterback. Averages out to what? Average. That's what Teddy Bridgewater is. And Brady, that's what we said. If the Broncos get average quarterback play, they can make a push for the playoff. Look what they're getting. Average quarterback play, and they are making a push for the playoff. So, yes, Teddy Bridgewater is not as good as Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know when these expectations got out of whack.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've heard several people, again, say, you know, hey, Teddy's got to be something. Teddy's got to come out and do something against the Bengals. It's just not the way this Broncos team is organized. I think even Vic, who loves, you know, obviously wanted Teddy over Drew from the get-go, I think even he would admit, no, it's Teddy because he's safe. We are a run football team. We have to establish that. Zach, on the other side of the ball, the Bengals got a pretty good running back, too. They got a bell cow guy, one guy, Joe Mixon. With a 1,000 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns for him, 12 of them rushing. He averages over four yards a carry. I mean, this defense, this front group, I mean, they're going to have their work cut out for him.
Oh, yes, they are absolutely going to have their work cut out for him. Draymond Jones has been playing so well for the Broncos as of recent. Not having him is going to be a big bummer because, man, everyone likes to talk about Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and yes, they both can be excellent. Ja'Marr Chase is fantastic. Joe Burrow is really hit or miss. Joe Mixon, he's not hit or miss. He's just a straight up hit. He has the second most rushing yards in the NFL. He has the second most attempts in the NFL. He has, I believe, the second most rushing touchdown. He is a beast. And so that's why this game, I think, is just really going to be a grinded out game on both sides of the ball. And Brady, I'm more concerned about the Broncos' ability to stop the run than I am concerned about the Broncos' ability to run the ball. And it's because Joe Mixon is running it so well. And he has the name. Obviously, he's been in the news for so many years. I don't really know why he's gone overlooked, but he's certainly not getting the credit that he deserves. Maybe it's because a former number one overall pick in Joe Burrow is there. But Joe Mixon, he's the thing that scares me the most because, look, Pat Surtain, this Broncos secondary, they've been doing excellent these past couple of weeks after they had their struggles to start the season. I'm not too worried about them. Joe Burrow may get a couple, but he's not going to torch the Broncos. But this run defense has been suspect, and if they can't stop Joe Mixon, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and I go, could that be a Philadelphia-type situation if Mixon gets going and that's just going to open up everything where the Broncos, you know, he's falling forward. And that's what absolutely killed Denver against Philly last time around. So that's a big one. You mentioned it. Joe Burrow, as far as that goes, you got to be able to stop the run, but you love the secondary. Burrow can throw it anywhere. He can put the ball anywhere. But he's also up there as far as interceptions, too. So this could be an opportunity for Denver to come up with some game-changing plays.
It really can be. I mean, Brady, there's no doubt that Joe Burrow has flashed many times this year, his number one overall potential. But at the same time, he's been Mr. Interception, 14 picks on the season. Remind you of someone last year? I mean, Drew Lock was right there with 15 at the end of the season last year. And Joe Burrow has obviously had more flashes than Drew, and they feel really good about Joe Burrow. But he's had multiple games with two interceptions, and Brady, they've lost every single game that he's had two interceptions. So the Broncos are going to have opportunities to pick him off, and they need to take advantage of that. I mean, we've seen a lot of times this year where the Broncos have the ball go right through their hands on the defensive side of the ball. They need to capitalize on those because Joe Burrow can throw for 300 yards and two interceptions. And if that happens, it doesn't matter how many yards he gets. The Broncos are going to win this game. Now, if he plays mistake-free and you don't take advantage of those opportunities, then, yeah, those 300 yards are really going to hurt you. So Joe Burrow is really good, but he's still having a lot of questionable decisions that the Broncos can honestly win this game off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that this could be a huge opportunity for Broncos playmakers to step up. How about this guy who hasn't been a playmaker really for the Broncos? Just injuries have been a tough thing for him. But Bradley Chubb, I think Broncos country keeps waiting to see when he's going to, you know, play like we believe he's capable of. We've seen, you know, spurts and things like that. Obviously, rookie year was good. Last year was good. Looking at this guy, what do you see, Zach? When do you see Bradley Chubb having one of those breakout type games where we say, hey, we would like to see him sign a long-term deal pretty soon?
Well, last year when he came back from injury, it took him about 3 or 4 games to really heat up. Now, he's about 3 or 4 games back from this injury, so that's a reason for optimism to believe that he's ready to turn the corner and have a huge impact outside of just the run game, especially in the pass game, because that's why they have him, is to rush the passer and make those impact plays. But that's the optimistic side of things. We really haven't seen Bradley Chubb. I mean, he hasn't been a bad player when he's been out there these past couple of games, but again, you have Bradley Chubb to be a game-changing type of player, and obviously we have not seen that. A reason for hope that it could happen this week, not only could he be getting his feet back under him, which he talked to us earlier in the week that is the case, but also Joe Burrow's a guy that will hold on to the ball. He's going to try to make some plays with his feet, and that will allow the pass rush more time to get to him. But Brady, the Broncos so desperately need that because they don't have Von Miller anymore. Bradley Chubb does not have a sack this season. In fact, Bradley Chubb doesn't have a sack in the past 7 games dating back to last year, which is crazy. As good as Jonathan Cooper has been, you have Malik Reed on the COVID list right now. You need some help in the pass rush department, especially when you close out the season against Joe Burrow, against Derek Carr, against Justin Herbert, and against Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be way too tough of a task to ask the Broncos secondary to shut them down without any pass rush.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. Zach, so when you're rounding this thing out, it's such a huge game for Denver. That place, the atmosphere, likely going to be crazy because we're not used to it. Weather's going to be good. Playoffs are in the midst. We're looking at it right now. You're seeing the Chargers lose to the Chiefs last night. The opportunity is right there for this team. What do you think? Do the Broncos find a way to get it done, get win number 8, and put themselves deep into the thick of the playoff race?
Brady, probably beyond my best judgment, I'm buying in right now. Maybe it's selfish because I want the Broncos to be competitive this past month of the season, but I think they get it done, and I think it's because of what I talked about. The Broncos are trending in the right direction. They have really seemed to find their formula these past 3 weeks. Even when it didn't work against Kansas City, they stuck with their formula, and that honestly gives me the most hope for this game. This defense is honestly playing elite as well. Even against Kansas City, they only gave up 13 points as a unit themselves. So I'm buying the Broncos. I think it's going to be a slug it out game. I think it's going to be very close. I like the spread at 2.5 because I got the Broncos by 4. I'm going to go 24-20, and man, this town is going to erupt after this game and be full on playoff mode.
Do you have any side predictions, like stat predictions, Patrick Surtain pick 6 to really set this thing up? Bradley Chubb pulls a little Von Miller action, a little strip sack, or Javonte Williams just runs. Any side predictions for us?
Boy, let's go with the bold one, and I'll say 200 rushing yards for the Broncos and kind of prove everyone wrong about Teddy's got to take over, Teddy's got to take over. Now, I think the Broncos are going to try to establish the run early, and then once they establish it, they're just going to say, wait, why would we pass? We don't need to pass. We're just going to keep pounding the ball. So 200 yards.
200. I love that, man. That sign me up for this kind of Broncos football for the rest of my life, by the way. If that's how things are going to be. Zach, appreciate you, man. What are you working on that we can check out in the next couple of days as we get set up for Broncos Bengals?
Well, one thing that I'm doing these past couple weeks and will be leading up to the playoffs is everything you need to know about where the Broncos stand in the playoffs right now, their odds, who you should be cheering for this weekend. Obviously, a big one yesterday. Got some games coming up besides the Broncos that would help them in their playoff chase. So that's the piece that I would pump right now. And Brady, one quick thing too that I forgot to mention when talking about Teddy is if the Broncos make the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater, they're still going to try to upgrade the quarterback position. So a lot of people get scared and nervous about that. You know,
right.
if Teddy plays well, they're not going to try to upgrade. No. They're still going to try to upgrade. So enjoy the ride right now. And George Payton's going to try to upgrade that position at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, okay, Zach, let's stretch that out even further. If crazy things happen, and listen, the AFC, NFC, it sure seems like it's wide open. If crazy things happen, Denver gets in, they pull off an upset, they get past the first round, something even crazier happens in the second round. I think you know where I'm going with this. The Broncos do the entire unthinkable thing here. Is Teddy then back? I mean, is the only way back for Teddy Bridgewater to win a Super Bowl for Denver, or is even that the case?
I still think that they would look at the two options out there of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and try to upgrade it a big way there. Now, if those guys aren't available, then I think Teddy probably did enough to deserve more time in Denver, and I don't think the Broncos would go in a first-round quarterback. I don't think they'd be looking to upgrade in the second tier of free agency or the trade market. But yes, even then, I still think they would try to get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
Yeah, because likely if that path, however unlikely it is, it's because you're running for 200 yards. It's because you're coming up with defensive stops, crazy sacks, crazy interceptions, things like that. So I'm with you, my friend. Zach, it should be really fun, man. This is uncharted territory for us, at least in the last 5 years or so. It's, you know, Super Bowl days. You had the 9-7 year, but that was a weird kind of fizzle into the year. This is the first time we've kind of felt mile high magic going into this or being in the middle of this month of December. So enjoy it, Broncos country. It's a great time.
Oh, exactly. And like you said, that 9-7 season kind of fizzled at the end. They started really hot and kind of fizzled down. Broncos started hot this year, fizzled in the middle, but they picked up steam. I mean, there is reason to believe in this team right now, Brady, and it's all going to be on that running game. And, man, Sunday is absolutely huge.
Yeah, no question, my friend. Zach, appreciate you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be looking out for your coverage leading up to the game as well. Certainly a lot of reason to refresh because of COVID and injuries and everything, just to keep an eye on things. So we'll be looking out, my friend.
Right on. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. And are you feeling it? You get an interesting one last night. Of course you're not, Angel. You should be rooting for the Broncos because it doesn't matter. The Bengals or the Broncos win, it hurts your precious little Dolphins.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I've just, this entire season, I've seen you guys get excited and really hyped up about this team. And then they lose a game, and you're just like, oh, the whole world's ending. This team sucks, all that. And
well, when you lose to Philadelphia. But see, you're painting this picture like it's a bizarre thing. When you lose to Philadelphia and then absolutely destroy the Chargers, and you absolutely go into Dallas and destroy the Cowboys, you can see why Broncos fans are like, holy crap, on one level, we can be really good. On the other level, you lose and get gashed by the Eagles. So it's been a very inconsistent ride for this Broncos team. No, I mean, they're 7-6. It's been extremely inconsistent. So, I mean, you can see why Broncos country is hesitant games like this. And then they lose or win, you're high on them again because it has been wildly inconsistent all season. Eastside Chris texting in, Brady, funny, we gave Chief Dixon grief the first 4 or 5 games of the season. Now we must bow down to him for the rest of the season. I think there might be a lesson here. Chief Dixon is the man. What are you talking about here, Eastside Chris?
This is the whole show.
This is not Dixon Chiefs love. We rooted for the Chiefs out of necessity last night. It felt dirty. It felt wrong. I smoked a cigarette after that game. It was disgusting.
And it's not like they blew them out either. They almost could have lost that game.
They almost could have. Chiefs didn't look good. Chargers coaching situation, I mean, they left 9 points there. There's 9 points in Los Angeles today. You could probably go find it. Give them to your Dolphins, and they might win this weekend. The Chargers were outcoached last night. The Chiefs were outplayed last night. I'm telling you, the window is open right now for this Broncos team to do something. And you go beat the Bengals, you're right there. You're in the thick of this thing. You got teams like the Colts in front of you that have a monster schedule coming up. You beat the Bengals, then you've got the Raiders still on that schedule, the Chargers, who you have beat before, and a Chiefs team that, I'm sorry, I know the Chiefs might be clicking, but it's not. We're not saying they've arrived. Did you see Mahomes, a couple of those throws last night? He does not look Mahomesy. The last two drives, he looked Mahomesy, but, and Kelce was doing some kind of weird chicken dance move to get that touchdown. It was a crazy game, but I'm not walking away from that game going, oh, Chiefs for sure. They're back. I don't feel that way, at least after last night. Thursday Night Special is back, though. We got an overtime. It took overtime to get it, but that's the thing. Mr. Thursday Night is back, Angel. You didn't want to believe, but very much back in the saddle, my friend.
No, I was very impressed.
You're welcome. 26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. More Broncos-Bengals today. I'm telling you, there is one guy in particular that I've got my eye on this weekend as far as who needs to step up. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.